Hey, listen to The Morning Show with Aaron. There's just a little touch of Nick Drake, one of these things first. I want to welcome to the studio Jasmine and Nick. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Jasmine, we know from the Environment Centre. Nick, welcome to the studio for the first time. You're running Repair Cafe.
That is correct. Thank you very much for having me.
That's all right. Well, great to have you here. What's the next thing happening that Environment Centre is working on at the moment, Jasmine?
Yes, well, this Friday, so I don't know if anyone remembers or missed out. Last month we held a screening of the film Deep Rising, which is narrated by Jason Momoa. And there were, like, the theatre can comfortably seat 35 people, but there were 50 people jam-packed into there, standing room only for some people. Mm. Couch dragged in and 10
down.
People turned away. Yeah.
Oh, 10, okay. And lying down on the floor in the front as
well. Yeah, right. You were there, weren't you?
A terrible place to actually watch a film from under the screen. Mm. But anyway, people were doing it.
Yeah. So we had great demand for a second screening. So that's happening this Friday.
Okay.
Same format as before, because it's like a 90-minute film, and it's quite heavy. It's like, okay, I'm trying to explain this film without putting people off, because actually the cinematography is incredible, isn't it?
It's worth it just for that, even if you don't care about the issues, to go and see the strange and wonderful creatures at the bottom of the sea. Yeah. I knew they would be weird, but even my expectations were exceeded, so,
Yeah, and then there's also the added bonus of Jason Momoa as the narrator.
I guess for some of the viewers, that's a bonus.
Aquaman.
I was just like, man, his voice is deep.
Yeah, that's what my friends were saying as well.
When you don't see it, the voice attached to the huge body, you'd really notice it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There will be a short, like a 10-minute intermission. Again, and then at the end, Phil McCabe will be doing a Q&A for anyone, because it is quite it's confronting in that you know more than I do, because I haven't seen it yet.
Oh yes, right.
I've just heard everything about it and watched all the interviews. So yeah, it's from what I understand, is it's really surprising that this guy who heads this deep sea mining company is just really open, like his ego's so big that he just lets them come in shows them around.
They got really good access, and they must have promised that they were going to be even handed about it, and they have been. Like, it's not a hit piece on him.
He's
allowed to speak for himself and dig his own grave in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I've even seen Jason Momoa mention that, you know, he's not into preaching. The music, the film is just factual.
Yeah.
It's not about trying to tell you what you should think about this. It's about facts. So there will be a Q&A at the end.
The good thing about having Phil do the Q&A is he's been in the room with some of these people who are in the film, so
that's right,
he's seen them, you know, in person.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll be asking for donations on the door. Like, that's not mandatory.
Koha.
It's koha.
Yeah, koha entry.
Whatever koha you want. But any money taken will be going directly to Chasm. Phil's also, he sent me a text last night saying, I'm getting Piazzi Pizza to make a bunch of pizzas, and they're going to chop them in half, and they're going to be available as well. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
We didn't have those last time.
He's forking for that out of his pocket, so come down for pizza too.
Oh, right. Maybe he's got a budget we don't know about.
Oh, look, I don't know, but it's going to be a good night. Yeah, I'm going to be going along with Stella, my daughter.
Yep.
Because it'll be pretty special, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For her age, I think it'll be quite good.
Oh, 100%.
There's lots happening in it.
Yeah. So there's still tickets available. Last time I looked yesterday, I think there were still 10 tickets available.
Okay.
So, jump on. If you don't want to miss out on this, I know there's lots of people that said they really want to see it, but they haven't bought tickets yet, I've noticed. So I would, and we're doing tickets this time so that you can secure a seat, because lots of people, the fact that people turned up and they couldn't see it, I think was a bit disappointing. So this time it's a way to make sure
where do they get the tickets?
They can go straight to our website, whangaroa.org.nz/events. So if you just go to our website, whangaroa.org.nz, and go to the page that's called events, you'll find all of our events there, and just click on Deep Rising. It will take you straight to our ticket page, and so it's a free ticket. You don't have to pay anything, but this is a way to guarantee that you can see.
You've got a seat, yeah. Well, would you be able to show it again?
We'll see. I believe that, there's different people around the different groups around Taranaki and Waikato, I think Taranaki especially, that Phil's and talks with about trying to get the film screened down there. So I don't know whether we'll play it in Whangaroa again, but it really depends on demand, because we did pay for the film rights the first time round,
yeah,
the screening rights, this time they did allow us to replay it without paying for the screening rights again.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll see. If the demand's there, yeah, we'll just keep going, I guess.
Okay, all right. That's cool. Sort of watch the space, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the movie, and that's this Friday.
This Friday at 7 p.m, but doors will open at 6:30. So, yeah, ideally you want to be there, like, you know, before 7.
Mm. And if you think you're going to pay on the door and there's a chance to
you're
pay on the door...
You're not guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed, but you have to be there when they open.
You're not guaranteed to be able to get in if you don't get a ticket.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Okay, cool. All right, next. Next thing.
Right. And then the next thing is that the reason why Nick is here is because Nick is a new member of the WEC team and Extreme team, because we are a subsidiary of Extreme Zero Waste now.
Yes.
But Nick is a new member of the team, and Repair Cafe is a collab between, was a collab anyway, between Extreme and WEC. And Nick is spearheading, leading the group of people and volunteers and everything, and is doing a lot of all the organising around the Repair Cafe, working really hard on it every month.
Yeah.
So I thought it was important that everyone, you know, put a voice to the name.
I mean, you'll be at the Repair Cafe, presumably.
Yes, I'm there every month.
And it is this weekend?
No, we just had it on Saturday.
You're here because this is your normal slot for WEC.
But it's every month at the same time.
And the same time is?
Every second Saturday of the month from 10 till 12 at Stuart Street Hall.
Okay, that's cool. And you've just been doing, how long have you been doing this?
So we had a pilot season last year, I was involved in that from the beginning. So we had 3 last year and a masterclass to see how it went and to see then if we could get funding to make it permanent. And luckily enough, we had an amazing year last year and were able to get funding. So it managed to give us a regular slot this year.
That was from the Waikato District Council. Yeah. So they've funded the next year, haven't they?
Is that part of their zero waste funding? Or?
Not this minimisation fund that's coming up, no.
It is part
of their waste, their waste, so it's really grateful to the Waikato District Council for funding this and recognising how valuable it is, the Repair Cafe. Mm.
Yeah, the council's actually got an infrastructure committee meeting today, and there's a big report in it, like a 30-page report about...
I saw a snippet of it.
John Lawson put online, and while we're doing better than the other towns, I don't think we're doing as well as we probably think we are.
Well, I would just like to... I'm not sure what those figures actually included. Was that waste bags, like landfill bags?
I think they were looking in the landfill bags from memory,
God, it makes you, like...
Because there's still work to do. We're heading for zero waste. That's the ideal. So
there's so much to do. Still, for sure.
And I think like this sort of thing. We live in a world now where it's hard to get anything repaired. So a repair cafe is probably quite an important part of that.
Yeah.
And Nick, it does sound like people are quite keen.
They are. We are having. Our volunteers are phenomenal. We've had on average 15 volunteers every single month, and it's almost the exact same people that have been there from the beginning. And there's still people wanting to come in and get involved. So this year we've had on average about 60 to 80 people coming through the door. We're getting 25 to 30 repairs done in the space of 2 hours. So given that, it's a pretty fast turnaround.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, the biggest conversation at the moment amongst our repairers, and has been for a while, is that not everything is repairable anymore. Mm. So all of the old stuff, you know, like my grandmother's sewing machine that got finished being made in 1970, it's in mint condition. You can pull it apart, you can fix it and put it back together.
Yeah.
And yet a lot of the things that come through at the minute, they're sealed shut. There's no access to it, not a single screw that you can use to loosen it to get access. So that's where a lot of the conversation is now.
Yeah. Are some of the repairers able to fight their way in anyway, or are they a lost cause?
Do you know what? In the time, and even just in these last 3 repair cafes, we've only had 3 things that have been deemed end of life that can't be fixed.
Yeah.
And we've had about 15 items in the 3 events as well that are repairable, but otherwise everything else is getting repaired.
Okay.
So we're not seeing that much going out the door that ends up in landfill.
I guess people kind of have a bit of an instinct anyway for what might be able to be fixed.
Yeah. And there is that as well. But it's trying to get people to look at things differently as well around their home to go, is this something that they will just throw out or is it able to be repaired?
And what sort of, have you had some weird unexpected things turning up just to explain
we've had the variety? Everything from tiny little mittens, bags getting repaired. Just this weekend we had the French doll with an arm missing. We had a sun oven, solar oven that got repaired.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Last month was probably an amazing one because we had a miner's lantern come in from 1910.
Wow.
And the lady wanted to see if it was still able to be used. So it was just having someone with that knowledge base to have a look and assess it to see, you know, how they could install a new wick and how it could be put back together
Who knows how to fix a lantern these days?
But it's amazing.
There are a couple of gentlemen, that are just like, and they're just the amazing DIY wires, and I don't know.
Yeah, their knowledge is amazing.
And I guess they can extend it to things that they've not actually seen before. Because lantern repairing is probably like 100 years ago when there was last actually people who did that for a living, you know, if there ever was. I've got no idea.
There was a big amp as well that got
repaired. There was an amp.
Be tested to see if there was dust, but it looked like it had been repaired.
Yeah. Like an amplifier.
Yeah,
big
old one, yeah.
You have everything from bikes getting fixed. You have, we've got a sharpener, so your shears, your loppers, your secateurs, your kitchen knives.
Right, they can be sharpened.
IT as well, so people having issues with laptops or phones, printers, you know, not understanding software. Our general repairers who are just amazing. Okay. Those guys just...
So computer stuff as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If you're having issues with your phone, laptop.
I saw one of them fixing the handle of a teapot. It was the wrapping, or it was not ceramic part that they were fixing, but it was like the handle was made out of...
The bamboo handle.
A bamboo, yeah. And it was, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people just have a talent for that.
It's been quite a few sleeping bags, eh?
Yep, tent poles as well coming in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you can't fix your tent pole, your whole tent's wasted.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can see. Yeah. Okay. I can see why people would be into that.
And it's just getting everybody's mind to open up just that little bit more of what can be fixed or looked at. So it's quite an array of things. So that's why it's so much fun each month. You just don't know what you're going to get.
And then also, I think last week, I don't know if you heard about this, but the Right to Repair Bill went through its first reading.
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
I just thought the new exciting. Government was like chucking everything out, but
no, this is a huge step.
This is a universal process. Like this bill was put forward years ago, right? I think it was like 2018 or 19 was when Marama Davidson first, put it in the, and I guess it got pulled out of the biscuit tin finally.
And there's, I mean, this is a fairly universal thing. Everyone gets that it's good to be able to repair.
Fingers
stuff.
Crossed, it gets passed though. You know.
Yeah.
It's still got so we're at the, it got introduced on the 11th of April.
Yeah.
It's had its first reading on that date. It has to go before a select committee, a second reading, a committee of whole house, third reading, royal assent. So,
all that stuff. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is stuff happening around the world as well at the moment, I know. So there's Right to Repair.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got a couple of other things we need to talk about as well. If that was everything from Repair Cafe.
Yeah.
Don't run away.
Just a note that the Repair Cafe is the second Saturday of every month in the Stewart Street Hall on Stewart Street.
Yeah.
Doors open at 10 a.m. Last items are taken at 11:30 a.m.
Okay.
Yep. That just allows everyone time to actually finish each thing.
Yeah. And I was going to ask, if there's other people out there who can repair, are you still always looking for...
Absolutely. Okay. Always. You can get in touch with us. Yeah, for sure.
At the Environment Centre.
Yep. And then to all those people who would love to get involved with sorting the seeds for our seed bank and our free seed stand, we have another seed sorting session coming up, which is on Tuesday the 7th of May from 3 to 4:30. It's a very casual environment. It's a nice social group that get together. You can do anything from sorting the seeds to making the little packets to putting them in packets and writing on the packets, and it's just a nice social get together. And then we have coming up in May is it's actually International Compost Awareness Month, a week.
Yes.
And we are holding it. It's from the 4th of May until the 12th or 11th. And for that whole long week, we're holding a series of events. It's a collaboration between Extreme Zero Waste and WEC,
yep.
and also the Raglan Horticultural Society and Time Bank.
Yep. Okay.
So we're starting kicking it off with a workshop, a composting workshop on Saturday the 4th of May at 4 p.m. It's going to be held at Waitatuna School. Composting workshop, and Shai Brode from Ruapoki Garden is going to be leading that workshop.
Okay.
And then that's going to be followed by some.
I'm just going through my list, folks.
Turning the page. So the compost clinic is going to be held up at Extreme Zero Waste on the afternoons from 12:30 to 5 p.m. on the 6th, 7th and 8th of May. And you'll be able to drop in and do a tour of how the Extreme Zero Waste compost system works with Liz Stanway.
Yes.
And you get some free tiger worms for your worm farm. If you're kicking one off because you've just learnt about it at the other events. And then on we're going to have a science night during that week as well.
Mm-hmm.
Details to be confirmed, but it'll be relating to compost somehow. I'd like to talk about the science of composting.
And the heat, what the heat does.
Yeah.
Because I know that the horizontal compost up there,
if there's anyone that wants to get involved in it, we're considering... I'm trying to organise the potential of a sit-down panel to discuss poo.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
It's everything you want to know and never
Science was, Night was, special on poop.
Was too afraid to ask.
Yep. because we do have a lot of dog poop in this town, so it might be worth talking about what should happen with that poop.
Well, it seems like it shouldn't be biodegradable, but there seems to be places you don't want to put it. So.
Yeah, like you might want to know whether you can put why you can't put it in the food composting system, and the hot composting in extreme. Why it can't go in there? Can it go in your worm farm? Can it not? I don't know. We might expand it onto different types of poop. Who knows?
Depends on your questions, folks. Yeah.
These are the questions we want to know.
Well, it was
funny though, because I was talking to Rolando, who is a vet at Anexa, about the topic of dog poop, and he said, "Can we talk about human poop too?" And it's like, maybe I should talk to one of the doctors at the medical centre. We could have an interesting panel discussion.
What's in there? Well, that's actually an issue because we have so many medicines and chemicals in our bodies anyway, and it's all coming out.
We do, yeah.
At the other end, obviously, and that has implications for the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. Right. And then we are going to be, I think we're ending it with a garden tour of Pauline Abrams' garden and worm farming system.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you want to see a worm farm up close, a really good one, because Pauline is great at worm farming, and she has held worm farm workshops for us in the past. She's got a great setup in her garden.
Mm.
So there'll be a tour on that. So we're just about to, it'll probably be today, tomorrow, that we'll be making all of those events live around what is happening for Composting Week.
Okay, cool. All right. Mm. So that's everything from the Environment Centre.